Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Today, I want to begin by talking to you about Psalm 16, verse 6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And surely, I have a delightful inheritance. When you hear the words boundary lines, it speaks of a place. When it says, fallen for me in pleasant places, it speaks for a place that is pleasant, a pleasant place. Finally, it says in the verse, surely I have a delightful inheritance. The word delightful is the Hebrew word Eden. Eden is the term used from the Garden of Eden. Literally, this boundary line, this pleasant place, is a picture of the Garden of Eden that God ordained for man to be in spiritually. The Garden of Eden is the ideal place. It's a wide place. It's a big place. The Bible actually says the Garden of Eden has four rivers in it. It's a pleasant place where we find the presence of God, the purposes of God for our lives, the provisions of God for us. The garden is full of plants and trees. And when you have plants and trees, what you have are fruits. No less than Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, he says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He goes on to say in verse 17 and 18, likewise, every good tree or plant bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. He clarifies this idea of fruits. When we think about sin, there are fruits. Fruits can be either good or they can be bad. Make no mistake about it. The way you find fruits is not from fruits, but from roots. I've entitled this message, The Rotten Roots of Sin. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows to cause up trouble and defile many. When you think about a bitter root that grows, it sounds like sin, because that's what sin does. It causes trouble, heads us on a trajectory that puts us in a place to be eaten up by a beast. More importantly, it's like a pandemic that defiles many. I want to begin by giving you the first point, which is trouble in the Garden of Eden, the pleasant place, the place of God's presence, the place where we find God's purposes and God's provision. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, now after Genesis 1 and 2 paints the picture of the beauty of Eden, the serpent comes who was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Temptation, or the act of tempting somebody that Satan did here, starts with a question that makes you doubt the thing that God says. Now, further in verses 2 and 3, it says, now the serpent said to the woman, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, which, by the way, is not what God said. God said, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, not just eat trees from the garden. But did God say that you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, which, by the way, is not something God said? What God said was not about a position of a tree, and you must not touch it, which God never said, or you will die, which is, more importantly, God never said that. Let me show you exactly what God said to Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, first of all, the word of the Lord came not to the woman, but to the man. It was a command, and the command was, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. The first command of God is freedom. But then he warns, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will not just die, you will certainly die. Now, there is a very big difference between those two lines. Now, the devil says to the woman, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. And here is why God doesn't want them to partake of this tree. Because Satan was enticing them and deceiving them and tempting them, that God knows that when you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The sin of pride is the sin of Satan. Pride is now ordinary sin. It is the root of all sin. Sin, by the way, as Jesus said, is like fruit. We see envy, we see gossiping, we see lying, we see adultery or even murder. But the root of that is not any of those, but pride. This is why Cain killed his brother Abel. It was the pride that led to rebellion. These are the two roots of sin. Sometimes we look at sin as behaviors, we look at sin as practices, But the reality is there is a root work underneath all of it that causes us to do these things. Rebellion is why we disobey. And that's why God was insisting that you cannot just know good and evil, you need to know good and evil with me as God. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23 tells us, rebellion is like the sin of divination. It is like witchcraft. It is one of the worst kinds of sin. Witchcraft, divination, is simply trying to be authority over God, trying to be the source of the authority of the divine nature of God. Secondly, it says, an arrogance or pride is like the evil of what we talked about last week, idolatry. These are the root causes of sin. Now, meanwhile, back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Notice that she had already sinned in her heart long before she ate it. When she saw it, her heart was already desiring to become somebody who was greater than God. And that's the result of finally the actual act of sinning against God. She also takes some of the fruit through her husband who was with her, and he also ate it. Both of them essentially wanted the same pride that Satan was offering them. The result was, in verse 7, their eyes were both opened. They realized they were naked. Now insecurity is ruling their hearts. And what they do next is they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves, which is the next step that happens when you have the root of pride and disobedience and rebellion. You begin to hide and cover up. Many of us hide and cover up for different careers, our jobs, our successes, our pedigrees, and there's nothing wrong with these things. But sometimes what happens is because we're so used to covering up, we'd rather be known for the people who we're not than for the genuine people who we are. We've learned how to cover up in life. The Bible calls that secret sins, and that is the third root of sin. Pride leads to rebellion. Rebellion leads to secret sins. And that's why you find different sins like cheating, which we hide secretly, pretend like we're not doing it, lying, which is something that is kept secret, corruption, which we don't want people to know about, sexual sins, which we hide, pornography, all these things, and even substance abuse, which we hide from people who know us. These are the roots of sin. We think that sin are just acts of bad things or immoral things. It is actually rooted in something far greater. Pride, rebellion, and secret sins have declarations. Pride declares, I can be like God. Rebellion declares, I can disobey God. And secret sins declares, I can get away with sin. That's what makes it dangerous, because roots are things that nobody sees. And as a result of that, pride, rebellion, secret sins result in us not willing to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Thus, we remain unforgiven. And when we become unforgiven, we find ourselves in a place where we're no longer at peace with God. And all the pride and rebellion and secret sins do not assuage our unforgiveness. The result is resentment. Much of the world is actually about that. And that's why we're warned in Hebrews 12, verse 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What is resentment? Well, here's what the dictionary says. Bitter. Indignation at having been treated unfairly. That's what happens when someone's demoted. The truth of the matter is that Satan, who got demoted as the angel of light, the worship leader of heaven, demoted and is angry at God. And he was teaching mankind these very roots of pride, of rebellion, of secret sins, and resentment. The reason why we cannot ever fix sin, no matter how hard we try, even if we try to cut off the fruits, if the roots are there, it's just a matter of time before they grow again. This was the trouble in Eden, in the garden. The trouble in the garden was pride and rebellion, cover-up and secret sins, unforgiven and resentful. The result was they were banished from the garden, from the pleasant place where the presence of God was, the purposes of God, and the provision of God. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God wasn't mad, he was walking. It was a cool day and he was wanting to check out how they were doing. And as a result, because of their hiding, they hid from the Lord God among the trees. But God, in search of them and wanting to restore them back in relationship, called out to them and said, "Where are you?" Adam answered and he answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid." By the way, when we have sin in our hearts, the first thing that happens, we distance away from God, hiding from God, we will have fear all the days of our lives. "Because I was naked, we will have insecurity, and because of these two, we will keep covering up." The result of that is just a rigmarole in a tiring life of fear, insecurity, and hiding. There goes, he says, "Who told you that you were naked?" God asking Adam, "Who told you?" Or other words, "Whose words do you trust now?" The second question was, "Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" In essence, he was asking him, "What's the truth?" Now here's what Adam says to that question. The man said, "The woman." In other words, instead of admitting to the fact that he wanted to have the same pride, the same rebellion, the same secret sin that he was hiding from, he blames the woman. Moreover, he doesn't just blame the woman, he actually is angry and resentful towards God and says, "The woman you put here is the cause of this." This is the result of the roots of sin. Pride, rebellion, secret sins, and resentment is what we see in the life of Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13, the Lord turns to the woman. Adam doesn't want to present himself for the truth of who he was and what had happened. God turns to the woman and asks her, "What is this that you've done?" The woman, in answer to that question, said, "The serpent deceived me." Now, while that sounds true, and we know that it's partially true, the real truth is found in verse 6. The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for becoming like God. And that's why she ate it. And that's also the same reason why her husband ate it. These are the roots of sin. Pride, rebellion, secret sins, resentment. These are the very sins of Satan himself. And that's the reason why he wanted to tempt them and put them in the same position of sin. Now, the Lord was left with no recourse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 says, "The Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden." Now they've lost the secure position of their pleasant place. Now they've lost the presence of God, the purposes of God, and the provision of God. When you're banished from the garden, we often look at the picture that looks like this. We look at the picture of Adam and Eve being rejected out of the Garden of Eden. Fact of the matter is, that is not completely the story and the truth. Genesis 3:24 says, "After he drove man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim, an angel, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." God's intent to making them get out of Eden was so they would realize they've lost the pleasant place. They've lost the presence of God, they've lost the purposes of God, and the provision of God, and thus they cannot live in eternity away from God, in the hopes that one day they would realize and come to the knowledge of the truth and come back to God. The result of pride, rebellion, and secret sins and resentment is actually rejection. Rejection is the result of being banished from the garden. Many people think rejection is when somebody did not make you win in the Master Chef contest or in a certain thing that you're doing or a project that you were doing. But the reality is rejection is actually a spiritual condition. Rejection actually is such a powerful spiritual condition, it passes on to the next generation. We find that in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain, in his pride and disobedience, buried his brother in secret sin and resented God for correcting him. Rejection is a spiritual condition that passes on generationally. And that's why sin is dangerous. Rejection is actually not just something that passes on generationally and spreads like the Bible warns us that it defiles many. Rejection is the scourge of society. Think of every sin that you can ever imagine, whether pride, rebellion, secret sins, selfishness, hatred, corruption, terrorism, racism, is rooted in rejection. Materialism is rejecting the things of God and insisting the things of man. Sin is the reason why it's a dangerous thing, because these roots are things that we thought never existed. They're the very source of every sin you could ever imagine. Which brings me to my final point. Jesus restores us in the garden. Jesus restores us in the garden. How? By giving us a new root system. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus himself says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root, the new root of the spring and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The new root of Jesus is what is put into us when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. The root of Jesus replaces pride with humility, acknowledging we're sinners and we need to be saved. It removes rebellion and replaces it with obedience and saying, God, you are my Lord. It removes the secret sins and replaces it with truthfulness and transparency and acknowledging our need for God and the truth that sets us free. It removes resentment and gives us contentment because we are now forgiven by God, restored because of what God and Jesus have done for us. We are no longer hiding from sin. We're contented because we've been forgiven. The result is not rejection, but acceptance. This is what Jesus did for us as he hung on the cross and gave himself for us. Father rejected him so that you and I could be accepted, so that we can humbly obey God and trust his truthfulness and be contented that we've been forgiven, once again restored in the place of God's presence. Jesus restores us in the garden. He gives us a brand new root system. He restores the place of our purpose for who we are, sons and daughters of the living God, to be able to fulfill the very destiny, the very call in our lives, and restores the very place of our provisions. Let me summarize this final message on sin. If you can understand sin as a trajectory that will cause you to be confronted by a beast that will destroy you, that's about rooted in idolatry and what's the throne in your heart, God wants to restore you, but it's not going to be restored until you understand it's a root system. Trouble in the garden begins with pride and rebellion. It becomes about cover-up and secret sins. It's being unforgiven and have resentment. It's being banished from the garden. And rejection is a spiritual condition. It passes on generationally and is the scourge of society. Jesus is the only one who restores us in the garden because he's giving us a brand new root system, no longer to be rejected, no longer to be unforgiven, no longer to be rebellious, no longer to be hiding in sin, and most importantly, no longer to be prideful, thinking that we can be like God or even better than God. He restores us to the place of our purpose, and finally, he restores the place of our provisions. As we close this moment of proclaiming, I want you to join me in proclaiming Jesus, the Lord and Savior of our lives. Join me in this short word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for restoring us back into the Garden of Delight, the pleasant place of your presence, purposes, and provisions. You and you alone can have removed from us the root of pride, rebellion, secret sins, resentment, and rejection. Instead, you've replaced it with humility, obedience, truthfulness, contentment, and acceptance. For this we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.